recall, last couple weeks ago, I preached a sermon on Mark 16 and belief in baptism, and I didn't get to finish everything I wanted to talk about, and then I got put off from last week, and then I thought I'd talk about something more directly impactful on our experience in the last week this morning. So tonight I'm going to finish my sermon on Mark 16. And remember, I have to do this in order to keep my license as a Church of Christ preacher. It's mandatory. I haven't ever preached a sermon before, specifically on this passage. You recall in my first sermon on the subject, we looked at the language in which Jesus, in giving his instructions to his disciples, he says to go preach the gospel to all creation, and he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. We looked specifically at this phrase right here. We looked at the language of it, that there are two participles there. Both of them describe a single person. And they are joined together by the word and. And they are not two separate people, they are the same person. It is a person who can be described as someone who has believed the gospel and is a person who has been baptized. And that person will be saved. And you cannot separate those two things. They are part and parcel of the same thing. Same person, same thing. Someone who has believed the gospel and who has been baptized shall be saved. And then we looked at a series of passages in which people are described as having obeyed the gospel, and it says exactly that. It says that these people have believed and that they've been baptized, or that that is what they did. In Acts 2:41, those who received his word were baptized. They believed, they were baptized. That is what identified them as having been added to the body of the saved. People who received the word, they were baptized, they were added. It's not describing two different categories of people, it's the same category of people. And that's how they're identified. How do you know the ones who have believed? They were baptized. How do you know the ones who received the word? They were baptized. How do you know they were added to the number of the saved? They were baptized. Acts chapter 8 and verse 12, Philip preaching to the Samaritans. When they believed, they were baptized. These are the people. These are the people who accepted the message of the gospel, the good news that Philip preached. How do you know they accepted it? How do you know they were believers? They were baptized. Acts chapter 16, again, and verse 15. Lydia said, "Do you consider me a believer? If you consider me a believer, come stay in my house." How did Paul know she was a believer? She'd been baptized. Acts chapter 18 and verse 8, the people there in Corinth, they believed, they were baptized. Because you don't do one without the other. They go together hand in hand. They are part and parcel of the same thing. They're not separate things. They're part of accepting the gospel because that's what Jesus said. Those who believe and are baptized shall be saved. Again, in Acts chapter 19 and verse 5, those fellows who had only heard about John, they were baptized by John with John's baptism. Paul asked them who the, you know, you need to believe in Jesus. You need to believe in the one who is to come after John. That is Jesus. Believe in Jesus. And on hearing this, they were baptized. Now, wait a second. He says, you need to believe in Jesus. But in response to Paul telling them they need to believe in Jesus, what did they do? They were baptized. Now, wait a second, fellas. I told you to believe in Jesus, not get baptized. Well, same thing. It's not separate. It's not different. Same thing. And hearing this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. So, there is this connection. Those who believe the gospel and are baptized are saved. And belief and baptism are not separate things. They are part of a single thing. Part of a single thing. Accepting the gospel. When you're baptized in the name of Jesus, it's because you believe in Jesus and you want his salvation. And that is what you're baptized for. It's not separate. It's not different. It's not some other thing tacked on. It is the thing. You believe, you accept, you embrace the message, you're baptized. The Lord forgives you. It's all part and parcel of accepting the gospel. And it is the gospel that saves. It is Jesus that saves. It is Jesus who says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He's the one who pronounces it. When we accept it and follow it, all we are doing is receiving what Jesus is giving us. That's what we're doing. Now, I want to continue to talk about this for just a few moments this evening. And I want you to think about what it is that we're believing when we're baptized. Because you don't just believe over here and then get baptized over here for no particular reason or in some separate act from belief. It is an act of belief. Believing and being baptized are part and parcel of the same thing. And so when you're baptized, you are believing something. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, Ananias tells Paul, "Why do you wait? Rise and be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on his name." And we've talked about participles before. We'll talk about them some more. Calling on his name is a participle. Being baptized is a verb. It's an imperative verb. Ananias is saying, "Paul, be baptized." But the participle, calling on his name, is not something done separately. It is commensurate with. It's done at the same time. To use an illustration, he hit a home run, swinging with all his might. Are those two things done at separate occasions or separate times? No. One simply describes how he accomplished the other. He saved the girl, swimming out to her. That's a participle. The swimming is a participle. The saved, that's a verb, just described what he did. They go together. He saved her by swimming out to her. When a person is baptized in the name of Jesus, they are calling on his name. That's what you do when you're baptized. You're saying, "Lord, I call on you." That's what you're doing. You can't be saved without calling on the Lord. And that's what you do when you're baptized. Here's another passage, Colossians chapter 2. Here Paul compares baptism to circumcision. But not a circumcision that people perform, but that God performs. And he says in Colossians 2 and verse 11, "In him," that's in Christ, that's the name, that's the operative name, "in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands." Now, the only circumcision that human beings can perform is a physical operation, the details of which I will not get into at this time, but God performs a circumcision. It's a metaphor. It's comparable to the Old Testament circumcision, but it's something new, and it's something that God does. And it's not a physical operation on your body. It is a spiritual operation that God performs, not by human hands. God does it. And he uses a verb, "You were circumcised." It's in the past tense. It's something that has happened to these Christians at some point in their past. You were circumcised by God. And then he says, your whole self ruled by the flesh was cut off or put off when you were circumcised by Christ. Here you have this body of your flesh, which has dominated and ruled your life and led you to sin and caused you to be lost. But Christ has cut it off through circumcision, not a physical one, a spiritual one. So, at some point in the past, they had been circumcised with a spiritual circumcision performed not by humans, but by Christ himself. When did that happen? Get into the next verse, which uses a participle. Having been buried with him in baptism. And again, it's commensurate. It's at the same time. You were circumcised, having been buried with him in baptism. With who? With Christ. You were buried with Christ in baptism. And when that happened, commensurate with that happened, Christ performed a circumcision, not by human hands. He performed it. In which, and the in which is referring to the baptism. In which, in what? In the baptism. In which you were also adds on to what he just said. You were buried with him. You were circumcised. Also, in baptism, you were raised with him. You were raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Now, as I've been saying all along, baptism is commensurate with faith. The two go together. And when you are baptized, you are saying, I have faith in the working of God. It's not my working. It's not faith in my obedience. It's not faith in my perfection. It's not faith in my skills or my goodness or my righteousness. It is an act. Baptism is an act of faith in the working of God. And exactly what is God working when you're being baptized? God is working that circumcision without hands, that resurrection, just as he raised Christ from the dead, he raises you from the dead. He raises you from the dead. God does that. It's his act of salvation. My faith in that act of salvation, and it takes place when you're baptized. That's what that passage says. And it's actually pretty clear. Buried with him in baptism through your faith in the working of God. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22. Let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of what? Faith. What do I have confidence in? What is it that I have confidence in that is going, that I'm going to be saved? It's faith. I believe. I believe God's going to save me. I am sure that God's going to save me. I have faith that God's going to save me. Having our hearts sprinkled clean from a guilty conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And there's that participle again. Having our hearts sprinkle clean to cleanse us from guilty conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. You know, when you're baptized, you are saying, I believe with all my heart, I believe and I am utterly convinced that God can cleanse me and take my sins away. I believe that. And I have full assurance in my heart that that's the case. And when my body is washed with water and my heart is expressing that fullness of faith, Both of those things are happening at the same time. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, which is clear enough all by itself, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but an appeal to God for a good conscience. What are you doing when what are you doing when you're baptized? You're making an appeal to God. You're saying, God, I don't have a clear conscience, but I know you can give me one. I know you can forgive me and make me pure and make me whole. And just as you raised Jesus from the dead, you can raise me up and I will be cleansed. And I believe that, and I'm going to be baptized, and you're going to do it because you said you will. And I believe you, Lord. I believe what you say. You say you're going to cleanse me. I believe that you will cleanse me, and that's why I'm being baptized. It's an appeal to God for a good conscience. It's an act in which you are asking God to take your sins away. And he does. Because Jesus said that he does. Appeal to God for a good conscience. In conclusion, brethren, the gospel tells us how we can be saved through Jesus Christ. And make no mistake, it is through Jesus Christ that we are saved. Those who believe the gospel and are baptized are saved. That's what the book says. Do you believe it? And if you do believe it, then why wouldn't you do it? That's the thing. People want to separate them and say, well, you believed here, and 3 weeks later, a month later, or somewhere down the road, you're baptized, or maybe you're not baptized. It doesn't matter. But does it? Does it not matter? Because if you believe a gospel that says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, you get yourself baptized. That's faith. Faith in the working of God. And if you believe that, if you absolutely believe that tonight, you should do it. Will you do it? Come and say you will as we stand and sing.
Oh, they tell me of a...